I'll have to go to the next town to fix the wheel. But what am I going to do with the big box that's on my wagon? It's full of all kinds of very important, expensive things, and I'm being paid by somebody to take this big box and deliver it to another town, and I have to watch it very carefully because this is what I am doing, this is my job, and I'm a wagon driver taking this big box to the next town. What should I do with it? If I leave it on the wagon in the middle of the road, somebody could come and steal it. And the Yid says, look, you can bring it into my restaurant. It's right over here. We'll put it down, and it'll be safe over here. What about my horses? Well, we'll put the horses in the barn. And I have plenty of horse food, so don't worry about it. I'll help you out. Well, they took the horses into the barn. They fed the horses. And the wagon driver lifted off. Now, he was a big, big, strong wagon driver. He lifted the box off of the wagon. Okay, let's go quickly. This is very heavy. Let's put it down. Now, they go into the restaurant. The Yid opened up the door. And they go into the restaurant, and the wagon driver says, can I put it on this table? No. If you put that heavy box on the table, you'll break the table. I'll put it on the chair. No, you'll break the chair. Oh, I have to put it down quick. It's so heavy. And they look around. All of a sudden, the Yid says, oh, you see the big grain box over there in the corner of the room? It's a strong, big box. Why don't you put it right on top of the lid of the grain box? Okay, and he takes the big, big box. And he puts it down on top of the grain box. Now, does anybody remember who is inside of that big grain box?
Russia.
What's his name? Does anybody remember? What's his name?
Big Eagle.
Big Eagle? Big Eagle?
Big Igor.
Big Igor is inside of that grain box. Now, of course, Big Igor is so busy laughing his head off and planning his plans, he doesn't know what's going on outside of the grain box. There's no window over there. All he hears is a bunch of noise, and all of a sudden he heard a big bang and a shake. And, you know, he just thought, well, I don't know what's going on. And he kept on laughing and planning. And he didn't know that on top of his grain box was a very heavy box. Now, is this going to matter at all in this story? Of course it is. Not yet, but pretty soon. And the Yid now goes, locks up the restaurant. And the Yid goes now, closes up the restaurant. The wagon driver took his wheel, and he starts on his way to the next town. Big Igor is in the big grain box, laughing his head off, waiting for the right time to carry out Chas V'Shalom, his evil plan. The Yid goes home and has supper with his family, and everyone goes now to sleep. And Big Igor waits until the middle of the night. The middle of this night. Of course, this is the same time as all the other things were happening in the beginning of this story, with Reb Baruch calling his wife and his Hasidim and all of these strange things. And Big Igor says, now is the time for me, Big Igor, to go out of the box and to take the girl. And he says, all I have to do is open the lid from the big grain box and climb out and start my plan. Here I go. He stands up and he starts to lift. It should be easier than this. Let me give a little bit more push. Something funny here, because the lid is not going anywhere. Well, let's just give a bigger push. I'm a big Igor, so I'm strong. Something seems to be in the way. Oh, Now I remember. Big Igor remembers something, which is a little bit, you know, not so often that Big Igor will remember something that happened about 2 hours ago, but now Big Igor remembers something that happened. I remember one noise and some kind of like a shake with a big bang on this box. Who could it be? Oh, Big Igor figures out that somebody put something on top of the big grain box. Oh, so what? I'm a Big Igor. If there's a big thing on top of the big grain box, Big Igor is bigger than any big thing. So therefore, Big Igor just have to give a big, big push. Okay, a big push. He keeps pushing. Now, what was happening on top was that big box kept getting banged around and crashing. And it started to split the wood and the nails that was making the lid. Even though it was a strong box, the grain box was very strong. But with all the smashing and pushing that was going on and all the banging from the box on top of it, the lid was slowly getting smashed about until Big Igor gave the biggest push that he could. And as he was trying to climb out, he got the lid open enough to start getting out. All of a sudden, the big box crashed through the lid. The lid split and broke. And now Big Igor, half of him was out of the box, but his legs were inside. And the big, heavy box came crashing down on his legs. And he was now stuck because he could not turn around and move the box off of his legs. And it hurt terribly. And he starts to scream. Big Igor starts to scream. Shh. Okay, stay still. Shh. Are we able to go on today or we have to continue next week? Okay, it's late. Mirtz Hashem, on Fun Day, not Sunday, but Fun Day, we will continue the story of Big Igor. And the people in the house woke up hearing the screaming, and they came downstairs and they went into the restaurant and they found Big Igor. And at the same time, the farmers that were all around could hear, even in their houses, even across the fields, because since Big Igor was very big, his voice was very loud, and he screamed very loud, and the pain made him scream even louder, and the farmers came to see what that screaming was. And Big Igor is saying, "Help me! Help me! Get this big box off of my legs! Help me! My legs are getting crushed!" And of course, it was clear to see to everyone what was happening. And one of the farmers said, "Big Igor, you are doing the bad plan that you planned to do. You were hiding in the big box. We know what you wanted to do." And another farmer says, "Hey, yeah, yeah, you always bragging that you want to marry the girl, the daughter of the yid who owns the restaurant. Probably you were hiding in the big box and you were going to capture her in the middle of the night." And another farmer says, "Yeah, yeah, he was going to take away the girl, and he was going to marry the girl." Another farmer says, "Yeah, he was going to take the girl to his house probably when nobody knew, and he was going to tippy-toe while the family was sleeping." And the farmer said, "Is that the way that you should do what you wanted to do, Igor, to this nice yid who takes care of us nicely in his restaurant, and the daughter that didn't do anything wrong? She's a very nice Jewish girl." And the farmer said, "You deserve what you got." And Big Igor says, "Help, take the box off of my legs." One of the farmers says, "Hey, maybe we should take the box off of his legs, that big box." And another farmer says, "Hey, where did that big box come from? Well, we never saw it on top of the grain box. How did it fall through?" And the chassid said, a wagon was coming by, and it broke down, and the wagon driver needed a place to put his box. He put it on top of there, and that's his box over there. And the farmer said, wait until the wagon driver comes back to get his box. He'll lift it off, and in the meantime, let it stay where it is on Big Igor. And they said to Big Igor, you deserve what you got for what you're trying to do. And the whole night, Big Igor was screaming, and the farmers did not let anybody take off the big box. Finally, Kinalach, in the morning, the wagon driver returned to get his big box, and he lifted it off Big Igor's legs. And Big Igor was screaming in terrible pain. And Big Igor says, bring a doctor, I can't walk, bring a doctor. And one of the farmers went now to get a doctor. And the doctor came, and he looked at Big Igor's legs, and he says, this is very serious. We have to operate, but he doesn't have time to get to the hospital. We'll have to do the operation right here. Put Big Igor on a table, and we'll have to operate now. And Big Igor says, how can you operate here? If take me to the hospital, they'll give me medicine to put me to sleep so I don't feel the pain more. And the doctor says, you don't have time to go to the hospital, because if you don't do the operation, you will die. Put him on the table, and as they're carrying Big Igor on the, and as they're carrying Big Igor to the table to do the operation, all of a sudden, something fell out of Big Igor's pocket on the floor. Oh, it didn't break, though. Does anybody know what was in Big Igor's pocket that could fall out onto the floor? What was it?
Sleeping potion.
Sleeping potion. The sleeping juice that he wanted to use on the girl. And somebody picked it up. Hey, here's a bottle. What is it? Hey, maybe it's Mashka. Let's have a drink. No, no. It says sleeping potion. Oh, they figured out Big Igor wanted to give the girl sleeping potions. And the doctor says, oh, sleeping potion. That's good enough to give to Big Igor during the operation. Instead of the girl getting it, let it go to Big Igor. They opened up his mouth and they poured into the mouth of Big Igor the bottle of sleeping potion. Big Igor, of course, fell asleep. Maybe not 100% asleep, since he's such a big Igor. He probably didn't put enough sleeping potion in the bottle for himself, but at least it worked a little bit. And I don't want to say exactly what they did over there to his legs on the table at the restaurant. It wasn't exactly nice, and I'm sure the little boys don't want to hear this, so Mommy probably wouldn't let him play the tape again if they're going to hear what happened. But he had a terrible operation. And of course, Kinalach, the Rishayim, in their evil ways, do not succeed because there's somebody watching. And, of course, they protect the Yid. That one who's watching protects the Yid. Big Igor got what he deserved. And, of course, the girl was saved. And if you remember the beginning of the story, Kinalach, very mysterious ways of the Tzaddik Reb Baruch. Somehow, through what he did, he was connecting himself with that family and the girl. And through all of those things that he did, Hashem saved the girl from Big Igor. And that's the end of the story of Big Igor. A person came up to a tzaddik, and not such a nice person, actually, and he said, excuse me, Rabbi, how can your Torah say about malachim, angels, in the Himmel, some kind of beings that are in the Himmel. I don't believe such a thing. There's no such a thing. I never saw it. Or your Torah talks about neshamis. I never saw it. How could it be? Or all kinds of higher worlds. Seven Himmels. I never saw it. How do I know it's really there? And you know what, Rabbi? What about Hashem Himself? Maybe it's not really true. Maybe Hashem is not really there. I never saw it. I mean, how can the Torah talk about all these things and you say it in the davening about Malachim and about Hashem and the Neshamis and all kinds of high things? I mean, how do I know it's really true, Rabbi? And the tzaddik looks at the person and he says, I'll give you an answer and I'll tell you what the answer is. Because the horses are thinking about hay, does it mean that the businessman's business is not business?
Rabbi, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
I asked you one thing, and now you're answering me something completely different. I mean, I don't understand what you're saying at all. I'm talking about all kinds of high things, and you're talking to me about horses, with hay, with business. What are you saying, Rabbi? The rabbi says, because the horses are thinking about the hay, does it mean that the businessman's business is not a business? Let me explain to you. Okay, this is what it is. Shh, listen closely. The rabbi, the tzaddik, is explaining to the person in a story way. One time, a businessman in the old times wanted to go on a business trip. He's a very big, smart businessman with a lot of different things going on. He's going to go out, hopefully make a lot of money and a lot of business deals. And he's going to buy things and sell things and travel different places. And he's got to see a lot of people and do a lot of different things. So what he does is he prepares everything and he gets a wagon with horses. And he's going to sit inside of the wagon on the trip. And he's going to be busy planning and thinking about his business and doing all kinds of mathematical things, figuring out money and plans and right things. And he's going to think about all the people he's going to see and what he's going to say to them and where he's going to buy, where he's going to sell. This is what the businessman is doing. Now, also going on the trip is a driver. The driver is in charge of driving the horses in the wagon. And also going on the trip are the horses. They have to pull the wagon. Now, all three of these living beings have brains. The businessman has a brain, and the driver has a brain, and the horses also have horsey brains. Now let's see, what's going on in the head and the brain of the businessman? We already told you. He's thinking all kinds of high things and all kinds of interesting, complicated business and money things and all kinds of things that he's got to sit in the wagon and take care of and think about. What is the wagon driver thinking about? Well, on this trip, he's going to get a certain amount of money. And once he gets the money, he's going to go shopping and buy some things for his family. He's going to buy his wife a dress. And he'll buy some toys for his kitties and pay some bills. And if he has any extra money, maybe he's going to do something else with it. And he's thinking that when he gets to certain towns, certain places, there are certain restaurants over there that he likes to go to. Whatever it is, this is what's going on in the driver's head. Now, what are the horses thinking about? The horses are thinking that when they go down this road, there's a certain place in the road that they get to stop off to the side, and over there is a big bucket of water, and they're going to eat hay, dry grass. And they're thinking, Oh, it's so delicious to eat that hay and drink that water. And that's all they're thinking about. Now, Kinalach, do the horses understand what the wagon driver is thinking about? No, they don't understand. You know, you talk to a horse about toys or about buying clothes or shoes, they're not going to know exactly what you're talking about. What about the horses? Do they understand the businessman's business? Buying and selling and making money and doing deals. Do the horses think and understand what the businessman is thinking about? Can they understand that? No. Now, what if you would say, because the horses cannot understand, the businessman's business, so there's no such thing as the businessman's business. There's no such thing. Because the horses can't understand it, you say, there's no such thing as businessman's business. There's no such thing. Would you say that's a smart thing to say? Or would you just say, the horse can't understand it, but it doesn't mean that the businessman's business is not business. The horse can't understand it. Okay, I'm taking this banana. See this banana? Okay. I'm holding the banana in my fingers. Hey, wait a minute. I can't taste this banana. How can you tell me a banana tastes good? I don't taste it. I'm holding it in my fingers. I see it, but I don't taste it. Wait a minute. Therefore, the banana doesn't have any taste because I can't taste it. Now, what's the problem over here? Why can't I taste the banana? I was holding it in my fingers. Why can't I taste the banana?
You didn't put it in your mouth.
Oh, very good. I didn't put it in my mouth. Where is the place that I taste the banana? In my mouth. That's where I have the power of tasting. In my fingers, I have the power of touching it. I could feel it's kind of cold and kind of, you know, slippery and a little bit mushy. And it's kind of soft. But there's no way in my fingers I could taste it. Now, Kinalof, the same thing. Our brain, our head, is that the place that we can understand Hashem or really know about Hashem? No. There's a lot of things we can understand and a lot of Torah we can understand, but that's not really where Hashem is to be able to see Hashem or even Malachim or Neshamis in the brain. It's not the place. You know this story. I'll just say it quickly. Everybody knows this story. The Baal Shem Tov's father's name, Eliezer. He also had a tremendous big mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim. He used to go out and find people. He used to go in the street. Like Avraham Avinu used to go out and find people to bring to his house. And he had a separate house that he used to have his Orachim. And he used to give them the best of everything. Now, I've heard this story different ways. This is the way I heard it. It was Shabbos. After Shacharis in Shul, after Musaf, everybody's going home for Kiddush. People are saying good Shabbos, and they're going home now to eat the meal of Shabbos. All of a sudden, in the street was a filthy beggar, walking with a stick, with a bag on the end of the stick, dressed in shmatas, and he's walking on Shabbos. And when people looked at him, they said, ugh, first of all, yuck. What a horrible, filthy, dirty-looking person walking in front of the shul on Shabbos. And if he's Jewish, they didn't even know he was Jewish, or not, but he's walking, carrying a stick with a bag on Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos in the middle of the street, in front of everybody. And I don't know if his head was covered or not, but people said, oi, let's go away quickly. Let's look the other way. Let's go home and make Kiddush, and then let's not look at this person. Yuck!
certainly not a Shabbos-tika thing to look at. And everybody went home, and when Reb Eliezer came out of the shul, he saw the poor beggar man. He felt sorry for him. Obviously he needs food, and he went over and he invited him to his house for Shabbos. And he brought him home, and the man came with him. And it's time to make Kiddush, and the man takes a whole bottle of wine and drinks it down, this beggar. He's so thirsty. And it's time to wash and eat the challah, and he goes over to Eliezer and he takes his big beautiful challahs and he eats both of the challahs right away, himself. And Eliezer doesn't get upset. And then it's time to serve the fish, and they put out a big bowl of fish for everybody to take, and the beggar takes the whole bowl and eats all the fish in the whole bowl. And Eliezer and his wife doesn't get upset. And they serve the chicken and they serve the kugel, and he takes the plates of the chicken and the kugel and he eats it all himself. And they put a big pot of cholent, a big bowl of cholent for everybody to take, and he takes it and he just eats the whole thing himself. Shh. And then it's time after the meal. I guess they had some food for other people also. They went back in the kitchen to bring it out, and his wife wasn't upset. And it's time that the other orachim, they had a big table of orachim, they want to go and lay down. Shina b'Shabbos Tainik. They want to go have a Shabbos nap. And there was a special place for the rooms for the orachim, nice rooms with nice beds. And they were showing the orachim where to go lie down. And the beggar is walking also. And he all of a sudden looks at one of the rooms. It happened to be Eliezer and his wife's own room with their beautiful beds. And he says, "I'm sleeping here." And he goes on Eliezer's bed and he puts his dirty boots on his pillow. He doesn't even take off his boots. And he lays down on his bed and his head is on the other part and his feet are on the pillow. And he falls asleep snoring, like shaking the house. And Eliezer and his wife don't get upset. And the whole Shabbos goes like that. Every meal he just eats everything. And when you see Shabbos, he ate all the potatoes and the herring. And Sunday morning, when it gets time for people to leave, he goes to the kitchen and he says to Eliezer's wife, "I want you to fix me sandwiches so I can take a bunch of sandwiches with me. I need food when I go." And she starts making him a big bag of sandwiches. And Eliezer and his wife didn't get upset at all. They gave him the sandwiches, and Eliezer even walked with them down the road, because part of Hakhnasas Orachim is you go along with your guests. And right before he went away, the beggar turned around, and all of a sudden his face changed completely. He looked like a halik at tzaddik. And he says, "Eliezer, you should know that I'm not just a beggar in the street. I am Eliyahu Hanavi, and I was sent to test you. Because in the Shemayim we heard about the Hakhnasas Orachim. And Hashem was getting ready to give you a big bracha for it. But the Satan came and said, 'Well, not so fast. Maybe it's not such a big mitzvah after all. Maybe it's just, you know, a little mitzvah. Maybe it's not a mitzvah. Maybe he's just doing it to show off or have a good time. Or he enjoys having people in his house. Or who knows why? Who knows why he's really doing it? Why does he deserve such a big bracha?' So they decided that you have to be tested to see, are you doing it for the mitzvah for Hashem, or are you doing it just because you like it? And the test, of course, was in such a way that you're not going to like having the Orech. You're not going to like having such a guest that you're going to get tested with. So I volunteered to come down to test you, and of course I made a big, big problem for you and your wife, eating the food, and acting not nicely, and putting my feet on your pillow with all the mud." And of course, usually when people tell this story, they add more and more details of how disgusting he was. But I'm just telling you very quickly the story. And he says, "I give you a bracha that you should have a special baby boy.